Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare to be uplifted and encouraged to live the life you were created for. Prepare to receive motivation from someone who truly wants to see you thrive. Prepare to start living life more abundantly. Welcome to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Here's your host, award-winning author, media personality, blogger, poet, motivator and founder of Say What Book Club, Tamika Patrice Kane.
Good evening and welcome to Living Abundantly. I am your host. This is Tamika Patrice Kane. And on this thankful Thursday, I am expressing gratitude and thankfulness just for, you know, the gift, just the subtle gifts that come across our path sometimes. And the gifts that exist within people. We've been talking about just kind of slowing things down and allowing ourselves to be more in the moment and to the beauty that life presents even on a daily basis. And sometimes we miss all of that when we are rushing to and rushing fro and always have an agenda. We miss it when we don't take the time to just stop and to slow down, and when we are maxed and full and have so many. Sorry about that. And have so many things going on that vie for our attention, that vie for our time, that vie for our efforts, and yet there's beauty that exists around us all the time. And so you know, we've been talking about that, but I want to take it a step further, and I want to express gratitude for the gift that exists within people, you know. And sometimes, no matter who crosses your path, whether it be a positive experience or something that's less than positive, there's always something to learn, something to glean, something to know, something to apply. And people, there's a saying that, you know, that everyone you meet is your teacher in some way, shape, or form. And I truly find that to be true, you know. And, you know, and so whether someone is showing you an aspect of yourself that you didn't know was there, or showing you how far you've grown, you know, even if you meet someone and you're dealing with them and they tap dance on your last nerve and you find yourself going off or going ballistic on them, that's still a teachable moment. What is it about that person that allows you to tap into that level of emotion? You know, what is it about you? What is it about them? What is it about the two of you together that triggers a response like that? You know, and so someone else would look at that and say, oh, that's a totally negative experience. And yet, I don't see it quite that way. There's still something there to be able to glean and to get out of that. You know, even if it's just, okay, well, because the only thing, what we are responsible for is simply ourselves. We are responsible for our own actions. We are responsible for our own reactions and how we choose to deal with things. So nobody else can make us do or not do anything. And so, you know, people will do what people do, and they will present what they present, and it will be up to us whether we are going to take it, leave it, and how we're going to respond to it. So if someone steps to you, you know, in what you deem is the wrong way, and they, you know, trigger a response, and the response is less than what you would have wanted yourself to function in, that's still a teachable moment. What is it about that person that triggered that thing? What do I have that's unresolved on the inside of me that would garner such a reaction? See, there's still beauty in that. There's beauty in being able to just step back and take a moment and realize that we are not victims. How about that? You know, instead, we have creative ability in our tongues. We have the ability to speak ourselves into wherever it is that we want to be. And so you know, people cross your path for all kinds of reasons. And so sometimes we are so busy looking at the outcome, where we want to be, that we miss just even subtle moments of beauty that are along the way. You know, did the person say something or do something that made you smile? I mean, did you walk into the room and you were happy to see them and you smiled? That's a beautiful moment. That's something to really just stop and relish in. You know, will the person take you to the altar? They may or may not, but the point isn't looking at what's happening 10, 15 years from now. What we're trying to do is to just stay present and to stay present in the moment, you know, and so, and to embrace that. When we spend too much time looking at the past, we are rehearsing, you know, things that happened, and it kind of taints how we see the present, even in the future. And when we spend too much time looking at the future, we forget to be content with what we have now. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so as you find yourself just forging on ahead and just living moment to moment, I'm not saying that you have to be stuck in wherever it is that you are, but we do have creative ability within our tongues to get ourselves where we want to be. So even when we are speaking, you know, we know that that just lives by faith, and so, you know, we believe and all that kind of stuff. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, you know, that's something to really kind of explore, because you can't give more than what's in you. So if what's coming out of your mouth is toxic and hard and mean or whatever, that's what's on the inside of you. But you don't have to stay in that place. And I just want to touch base on this, the ability that we have within ourselves to create the existence that we want. We are not victims of circumstance. We are not victims of circumstance. And so, you know, there are things that kind of come along with that. And so wherever it is that you are in your life is someplace you have thought yourself to. And I remember when I first learned those principles, it just was like a knife in the gut that someone just took and just turned. You know, I mean, because first of all, we don't usually want to be that responsible for what's going on. It's easier, you know, and certainly more comfortable to be able to point the finger and to blame someone else for where we are in our lives. And yet he has given us the power to talk ourselves into where we want to be and to talk ourselves out of stuff too. You know, so what is it that you want? And, you know, it's not, oh, I will be a millionaire. It's not, oh, I will have a new car. It's, you know, I have a new car. I am a millionaire. And even though, or, you know, or whatever it is that you are longing for, or looking for, whatever. And so, you know, even though the reality is you may not have two pennies to rub together, and you may not even have a car. You may be catching the bus or walking to and fro. But as you begin to speak present tense, I am, you know, I'm driving my new car. You know, eventually what you are speaking becomes the thoughts that you're also thinking, and you are speaking and thinking your way into the life that you want to live. And so those are interesting kinds of, you know, concepts, and I'm not going to get into that a whole lot today, but I just want to give you something to kind of think about, something to go on, and something to process. When we started this series, Living Abundantly, one of the first things we decided that we needed to do was to step back a moment and to be honest with ourselves about where we are and what it is that we want. Abundant living is authentic living. It is listening to that small, quiet voice on the inside of you that's letting you know, what you really want. It's saying, don't settle for the corner office if what you want is a farm out in the country. it's saying, you know, don't settle for being a street sweeper when what you want is the corner office. And so even when it looks like all of these circumstances around you are completely the opposite of what it is that you want or are believing for, that's fine. We're not going to focus on that just yet. It's a step-by-step process. And so you have to figure out where you are. And then once you've figured out where you are, then you can look at your life and you can see where the deficits are and see where it is that you want to. Then you want to see where you want to go, and that's where that's where the deficits will come in. You'll be able to say, okay, well, this is where I am, this is where I want to be, and these are the things that are missing. And so as you begin to focus on where it is that you want to go and pinpoint what deficits are, that is where your power of a positive confession, your power of creative, your creative ability within your tongue becomes important, because you will begin to form a confession that will speak yourself into where it is that you want to go. So we know that Scripture tells us in James that our tongue is like a rudder. So the rudder of a ship is a very small device, I mean very small, and yet that rudder will turn this massive vessel in any direction that you want it to go in. And so, you know, the tongue is just a little small member, is what the word says, you know, and yet with it, you know, is life and death in the power of the tongue. I'm going to say that again. Your tongue is a very small member, but in that tongue is life and death. So are you speaking life into yourself? Are you speaking life into your health? Are you speaking life into your circumstances? Are you speaking life into your finances, into your relationships, into your job, into your finances, wherever it is? Are you speaking life, or are you speaking death? Are you telling yourself, you know, you can't, it will never happen, you know, I would, but what are you saying? What are you saying? Because what you're saying is important. You have been given the creative ability to change your life, but nobody else can do that for you. You have to do that part yourself. You have been given the creative ability to create the life that you want. So what do you want your life to look like? And we've talked before about vision boards and stuff like that, and literally all this stuff kind of ties together, because the more of your senses that you can use as you are crafting this new life that you want, you know, the better off it is for you. You know, if you can look across the room and see pictures of the house that you want to have and see, okay, well, I have never gone anywhere, just maybe three cities over, but I want to see the world. Well, then you would do a vision board that has on there all of the things and all the places you want to go. What do you want to do when you go to Paris? Where do you want to see? Well, where do you want to stay? You know, what do you want to eat while you're there? And so the more of your senses that you can bring in, the better. You know, so then, of course, you know, if your goal is to travel, and, you know, and we're just, you know, Paris just randomly came to mind, so we'll just stick with that, you know, then you will go and you will pull up some travel books. You will, you know, read some stories of other people, travel memoirs, you know, people who have traveled and what their experiences were. You know, you will pull some pictures, you'll watch some films, you know, you will get as immersed in the environment and the culture, you know, as you can, and you will make it real to yourself. This is off the subject and not at the same time. So years ago, I read a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. It's by Norman Vincent Peale. I think it was written in the 60s, even before I was born. But it's still a very powerful read, and it's also on video, but audio tape. So, you know, if you like to drive and listen to stuff, you know, you can actually get that as well. And so what happened was one of the stories that stands out in my mind was a lady who had gotten married. They'd been married for a very long time, and the relationship was just not beautiful anymore. As a matter of fact, he had gotten himself a lover and was getting ready to leave the wife of his youth, right? Okay. So, you know, she's devastated because, you know, and so they had interesting dynamics. So, you know, she goes and she sees Norman, and, you know, he's telling her, because he was a pastor, you know, so he's telling her some different things, you know. And so they had to kind of, first of all, explore what was going on with her. They took the focus completely off of him. Yeah, isn't that interesting, right? God works that same way, too. You know, we think he's wrong or she's wrong, and God's like, forget all that. what I need is a vessel who's willing. Are you the one who's willing? Well, then you're the one I want to work with, you know? And so he just kind of goes from there, and we just keep it moving. And so, you know, they start talking, and then she gets to see the error of her ways and how some of her behaviors pushed him away. She had some issues. You know, he had gotten very successful and was doing all kinds of stuff, but she felt like she didn't have anything yet. It made her very angry and bitter, so her tone became very caustic, and she pushed him away, pushed him right into the arms of another woman, and then he was ready to go. Now, am I justifying his behaviors? Absolutely not. I'm just telling a story here, because he had a choice to make. He could have chosen not to cheat, but he did choose to cheat, okay? But the point is, she was like, I don't want my husband to leave, and so Norman tells her, you know, okay, so you don't want him to leave. All right, so here's what you're going to do. And so she tells him, oh, I don't know, maybe it was 60 days or 90 days or what have you. And so she says to him, yes, I will grant you a divorce, but not until either the 60 or 90 days has passed, whichever time period it was. Okay. And he's like, okay. And so her assignment, you know, and so she was supposed to just let him do what he does. You know, he wants to run the street and come home and all types of the day and night. Let him do what he does. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything to him. So her assignment was to sit in the living room, because there were things that they used to do. And he had a chair kind of opposite hers, and they would, you know, sit there and read the paper, you know, do that couple thing, you know, that thing that couples do when they've been together for a long time, watch the news, all of that. So, but she was supposed to visualize him back in that seat, you know, visualize them doing things together, visualize them back in love and all of this. And so one day, you know, and so of course, you know, the time went, now mind you, when you first start this process, it is going to tear on your flesh, because, you know, first of all, you're like, but it's not real, but we make our flesh, we subdue our flesh, okay? So even when your flesh is telling you, you know, it's not real and I can't do this or whatever, you tell your flesh to shut up, you know, and do what you have to do anyway. You know, eventually, the more you do it, the more comfortable you become with it. So, you know, you just silence your flesh. So she's sitting there, you know, and she's doing this night after night after night, and he's going out and coming and, you know, and still acting like this teeny bopper and all this other stuff. So one day, she goes to do her visualization, and he's in the chair, but she'd gotten so adept at him, at being able to visualize him, she didn't know if the image in the chair was actually her husband or if it was really her imagination. And so, you know, it was him, though, because she had started, you know, she had manifested him back home. And so, you know, they went through that. So then when the end of the period was up, the time, whatever it was that he had given her, she says, okay, I will grant you, before that, he starts asking her to do things with him again. You know, let's go golfing, let's do this, let's do that, stuff that he had not wanted to do anything, you know, anything with her. And so then by the time period was up, she says, okay, I will grant you the divorce now. And he looks at her and says, what on earth made you think I wanted a divorce? And so, you know, and she just, you know, and he just kind of hides his face behind the newspaper, because he felt like he had gotten his wife back, you know. But and she admitted where she had been wrong, you know, but she had to make some changes with some things. But the point is, you know, here she could have become a victim of that circumstance. And she's like, no, I'm going to use the creative power that's within my tongue, you know, and my creative visualizations, you know, in my mind, what I think to grant me the life that I want. And it worked. And so, you know, the tools and resources in the kingdom are for everybody. The principles of scripture are for everybody. So, and God is no respecter of persons. So anyone who is going to put those principles into practice will see the fruit. They will yield the fruit of their effort. God is no respecter of persons. And so, you know, it looks like if you see someone whose life looks vastly different than yours, and you're like, you know, what is it? They know something you don't know, and your job is to find out what they know. And so sometimes we get caught up because, you know, instead of seeing someone that has what we want and thinking, okay, well, here's a mentoring situation here. Here's an opportunity for me to be able to learn and grow from this. Instead, what happens is envy kicks in. You know, And so it's very difficult to glean something and to receive something from someone you are envious of. So we shut off the ability to be able to learn and grow and, you know, all that stuff. And yet, you know, here's an opportunity where if you apply it the right way, you can gain some things that will help you and benefit you and take you further along. And so, you know, who is it that you are struggling with right now? Who are you, you know, inside of yourself having this internal fight with? Their life is just rubbing you the wrong way. It feels like sandpaper to your wounds, salt in your wounds. It just hurts looking at what they have, you know, and you're struggling your way through and you don't have it. Well, they know something you don't know. And so you'll want to start by putting aside any ill feelings you have and just realize that, you know, it's just a teachable moment. And then have the conversation with the person and ask them if they will help you. They're not going to give you stuff. You don't want them to do that. You want them to teach you what they know so that you can have what it is that you need to have or what it is that you are trying to have. You know, you want to be teachable. You want to be, you know, correctable. And then you want to see the fruits of your labors. And so, you know, how bad do you want it? Do you want to stay where you are? Or do you want the life that you want? So, you know, this is living abundantly. Jesus says that I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, you know. And so if we are not living the abundant life, it just means there's some stuff that we don't know. And it's our job to find that stuff out. He says that his people perish for lack of knowledge, not for lack of money, not for lack of resources, not for lack of opportunity, but for lack of knowledge. So, you know, there are areas that we struggle and stuff that we need, and you fill in the blank, you know, all that. But the reason that we are having those struggles is because we are missing some knowledge. And so, you know, but we live in an information age. So anything that we want to have access to, any kind of information that we need to have, we can really just look it up. We can, you know, have some conversations with the people. We can go to the library. We can pull off the internet, you know, and we can find out what it is that we need to know. We don't have to live in ignorance. We don't have to, you know, live in darkness. We don't have to live far beneath our privilege because, you know, he has made things available to us. So use the creative power that is within your mind to create the existence that you want. How bad do you want it? You know, are you willing to change? Question, are you willing to change? You know, now if you're not willing to change, it's okay. And God loves us right where we are. He loves us right where we are, and he lets us be right where we are. He also loves us so much where we don't have to stay where we are. You know, he wishes that we would always be in this place where we're, you know, growing and having more. I mean, not always just stuff, because he doesn't care about us having stuff as long as stuff doesn't have us. Stuff should not become your God. You know, you should not be willing to, you know, sacrifice, you know, people and time and all these other outside things that really mean something for stuff. You know, that's a pretty sorry existence. So, you know, we need to have balance, you know, but it's okay for us to have things as long as things don't have us, you know. Healthy, proper balance with stuff. And it's good, right? It's good. So back to what we were initially saying, what is it that you want? You know, what is it that you want? And then you begin to create your confession. You know, there are two sides of this. You know, there's one side where you say, I remember when, okay? And so what this does is when you are speaking, I remember when I was poor. I remember when I was sick. I remember when I was homeless. I remember when I didn't have a car. Even if in your current state, you might very well be sick, poor, and carless, right? Okay. But by saying I remember when, you know, you are taking yourself and putting yourself in a mental place that's different. You are taking yourself out of your current situation, and you're saying, I remember when this happened, but this is no longer my reality. So you are literally changing your reality about what it is that you are speaking. I remember when I was lonely. I remember when I didn't have a job. I remember when I didn't have any money. I remember when I had relationships that failed. I remember, fill in the blank, right, whatever your things are, right? And then, you know, side of that coin is you begin to say, I am, you know, not I will be, not I will have. Mm-mm. I am rich. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am whatever it is that you want. I am a homeowner. I am a car owner. I am debt-free. I am whatever, right? And so even in the midst of that, you are speaking right now and changing your right now, because that's what we need to change. We don't need to change the future. We're not there yet. And we'll never get to a changed future if we don't change the right here and the right now. So you do that with what it is that you are saying. I am. I am. Speak it into existence. As a matter of fact, you know, isn't that what God says? I am, right? I am. And so whatever it is that we need, he is. I am, okay? And so we have been given that same creative ability and power in our tongue to be who we are. I am. So what are you? You know, are you happy? Are you unhappy? You know, are you blessed? Are you not blessed? You know, are you, oh, how about this one? I remember when I was in that abusive relationship. Oh, doesn't that just speak to you, right? Okay, for those of you who need to get out of an abusive relationship, I remember when I was in that abusive relationship. I remember when I did not manifest healthy relationships. I remember, meaning it used to be, but that's not my reality anymore. Very powerful. Very powerful. So know your power, know who you are, know whose you are, and use the tools and the skills and the abilities that he has made available to you to manifest the life it is that you want. I have given you a whole lot tonight, and I'm not going to stay on here very long. Usually this is an hour show, but I feel like I have just given you so much to chew on that I will go ahead and call it a night and end it. But we will begin to, sometimes people are afraid to apply what people, like stuff like the law of attraction. They think it's new agey. But principles of scripture are principles of scripture, and they are available to anyone who is willing to exercise them and to put them into practice. So, you know, new agers did not develop the law of attraction. God designed the law of attraction. And he gave those things to us. Remember, his people perished for lack of knowledge. So if there's something that you're missing, get some resources, you know. So I hope that this week you will, first of all, start off with the list. This is where I am. This is the next list. This is where I want to be. The third list. This is what I need in order to get myself from where I am to where I want to be, you know. And then If you're not kind of worn out or whatever, if you feel up to it, you can begin to work on your I am confessions. And I remember when confessions, two different sets of confessions there. I am and I remember when. Work on those things and begin to speak that stuff. And while you're in the midst of speaking those things into existence, mirror work is so powerful. So if you can, you know, do your confessions in front of the mirror, and they don't have to be, you know, I mean, you might want to do them 2-3 times a day, just, maybe give yourself 5-6 minutes, you know, and just go through the list. And eventually, the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get with it, the more you'll start to believe it, the more you'll begin to see the manifestation of what it is that you are saying and thinking and being until it becomes just second nature. Know that you are worthy. Know that, you know, the God of the universe has made these things available to you, and you can create your own destiny. So be blessed, and until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose. Good night.